adopted sons of God this evening, and we know that we are that in fact, no matter how we might feel, or even how we might think. Once we've accepted the Lord and become part of His awesome body, His promises are without change of mind, and that's a beautiful thing. I'd like to open up I don't know if this is the third session of the Greek, fourth session, really doesn't matter. We're just working through this text, and we're going to learn as we go. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your hand of blessing this evening upon we saints here this evening. We are endeavoring into your original language of the scriptures of the New Testament, so-called. We do this because we love you and we want to know more thoroughly about your word. And we believe in our hearts that you would delight at that and that you would sanction this. And we pray that we might really have joy in this. We might really understand what we're attempting to do, because to have a fuller and deeper knowledge of your awesome and eternal word, there can be, in our minds, no better task in the world. At least this is one of the greatest tasks that we believe that you would really joy in. So we pray for your strength and for your correctness and teaching us from this text this evening. And we pray that we might have ready hearts and ready minds, and that we'd really have a great time in this. We believe that you're a loving God, and we believe that you would have us rejoice and have joy in the studying of your scriptures. So we pray for the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, in the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, the Creator of all things, Christ Jesus. Well, folks, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to finish up with, we are going to finish up with lesson number one, which we've been into for about 3 weeks now. But it's very important, extremely fundamental. Lesson number one, we stated a number of times that we all have our responsibilities in and of ourselves to do our own study. We can go over the alphabet, which I will go over again tonight, but only you can sit down and write the letters out and search out a good lexicon, go over forms, Greek forms in these lexicons, and Greek roots in these lexicons to become familiar with them. Today we are going to read the Gospel of John chapter 1 in the Greek. What I'll do is I'll read a line or a verse in English, and then we'll read it in the Greek. That's actually the last exercise in lesson number one. It's an awesome thing. One of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture certainly is John 1. John, I think it was John 1, Ephesians 1, and Hebrews 1 just struck me as being awesome first chapters to know. Also 1 John 1. And then we're going to go over the diphthongs again. The diphthongs are a combination of two vowels that are particular to the Koine Greek. We're actually going to go into an appendix as far as studying accents. I think it's very important that we go to appendix number one. We're just going to go over part of it. I'll leave the other part to you, but it's very important. I was looking it over, and the first part of appendix one is very important to know. About accents and the just the syllables and what they're called in the Koine Greek, very fundamental knowledge. And then there's a number of Greek forms we're going to read. That's part of the exercise. And then we'll entertain any questions. That's what's going to go on this evening. All right. And even though this might seem a little repetitious, you know, eventually we're going to open up that New Testament text in the Greek that you all bought, and you're going to have a lot more joy looking at that than you ever had in your life. So we can all look at this as being just awesome studies. I do. I learn every time I do this, so I have a great time. So, hey, let's go over the Greek alphabet correctly this time. Let's turn to page 2 in the text. Page 2 in the text. We're going to read over the Greek alphabet again and pronounce it correctly. Very important. Even the professor that wrote this book claims the truth that it's very important to get the pronunciation of the Greek forms of the Greek letters correctly. Yes, I will. I'll be pronouncing all the vocabulary words in exercise 11B. That was a question here in exercise 11B. Well, Gary, wait a minute. Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we're going to... Oh, you're talking about section 11B lesson 1. Yes, we're going to do that. Yep, that's part of what we're doing. All right, the Greek alphabet, pronounced correctly, as far as I know. And I believe that what I know to be true about the alphabet anyway. Alpha, beta, it's not beta, it's beta. Gamma, it's not gamma, it's gamma. Delta, epsilon. Zeta, it's not zeta, it's zeta. Eta, that one is long, eta. Theta, it's not theta, it's theta. Iota, it's not iota, it's iota. Kappa, lambda, mu, nu. Xi, Gary's favorite, and his daughter's favorite, Omicron. It's not Omicron, it's Omicron. P, it's not pi, it's P. Rho. Sigma. Tau. Upsilon. Phi. Chi. Psi. Omega. And you know, just by knowing that alphabet, you're going to know a lot of things in this world. Matter of fact, well, you'll know a number of things about the scriptures too, as in the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. It's been said that he's the vowels in the Hebrew language which had none. By the way, that's a little. It might be more of an interesting study to get into that. Let's turn to page 7, the accents. We're going to go over the accents here again. All right? Oh, wait a minute. You guys slipped me up again. Turn back to page 4. We're going to go over the diphthongs. These are very important. Extremely important in the pronunciation. The pronunciation of the Greek forms and roots. Very important, because a lot of people screw these up because they don't take the time to learn them correctly. The 8 major diphthongs. Actually 7. The 7 major diphthongs. Very important for you to get these down, memorize these. Alright, on page 4, you'll see alpha iota, which is pronounced I, like an aisle. And you'll see an example of that right to the right there, ione. ion. Very important word to us, isn't it? It's not aeon. It's ion. The next diphthong, epsilon iota, pronounced A. It's not I. It's A. As in Eirene, which means peace, a very important scriptural word. So if you know the diphthongs, you would know how to pronounce the Greek form for the word, English word age, and the Greek form for the English word peace. Very important. Certainly the Greek forms ion and Eirene are really important to the New Testament. Omicron iota, pronounced oi, as in oikos, which means house in the English. Oi, oikos. Very important word in the New Testament. Well, as far as the English word is concerned. Upsilon iota, pronounced we. Weos, extremely important word to those of the dispensation of the mystery. Weos, which means son. We all are adopted sons. Quiothesios, which is a form of huios. Huios possibly could be a root, but I'm not definite on that. Getting back to what we mentioned over a few times is that inexactitude, there are no Greek words. Even though professor of this text, he states that there are Greek words. Well, inexactitude, if you're going to be a Greek, if you're going to have put on the Koine Greek channel of your mind, there are only Greek roots and there are Greek forms. So if you want to, let's say you're living in Greece in AD 29, you would not ever say there are Greek words. You would say in the Greek there are either roots or there are forms or forms of the root. Okay? Now this is going to be kind of, as we go, this is going to be kind of hard to delineate as we go because we're reading, you know, we're reading about a Greek, about the Koine Greek language in the English. But I'll try to point out at any time I can when this professor calls a Greek form a word, I'll correct them because there are no Greek words. They're either roots or they're forms. If you want to be exact about things, which that's what we're attempting to do. So, as best as I can. So I'm going to try to do this through the various discussions I have and the studying that I do. I'm going to try to do this in honor of the Lord as perfectly as I can. And then we can, at least all of us can go off and we tried our best to learn the Koine as the Holy Spirit would want us to. All right? The next diphthong is alpha upsilon, which is pronounced au, as in Faust. The Greek form there is autos, which means self, a very important Greek form in the New Testament. You'll notice that just going over a few of these Greek forms that have these diphthongs in them, you can see the importance already. All right, and if you, like, let's say if you took an afternoon or a few hours and you decided somehow to look up all the Greek forms that had alpha iota diphthong in them, you're going to come up with a lot of Greek forms and roots just like that. And all of a sudden you'll start becoming familiar with the definition of those forms, you know, and it's just a matter of what you want to do with all this. You know, but, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that we all catch fire in our hearts, however that's possible in our lives. You know, like, certainly my wife and I have a very busy life, quote, but I've met too many human beings, especially those who don't know the Lord, who think that life is keeping busy, as if you keep constantly busy, you got life by the tail, and that's absolutely ridiculous unless it has to do with God's word. If you're busy in God's word all the time, well, hallelujah. But if you say, well, I'm too busy for the Lord's word, and this really doesn't have anything to do with this Greek class, but if we say we're too busy for the Lord's word, we are hypocrites among hypocrites. That's what we are. Because what would our life mean anyway then? So, what I'm trying to explain is probably to myself, we shouldn't be too busy for the Lord, because then we're going to miss out on a lot of meaning of what this life really should be. And I'm saying this to you because I say this to Mike, because Mike has problems just as you with all this stuff. So getting back to the diphthongs, what I'm saying is I'm going to pray for all of us that we have a desire to spend quality time in the Koine. The next diphthong is Epsilon Upsilon, pronounced U as in feud. And the Greek form is Ulagetas, Ulagetas. And that is a very important Greek form. Actually, it's found in Ephesians 1:3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father. Blessed, ulagetas, ulagetas. And it actually means praise to also. Very important Greek form. The last diphthong to learn is Omicron Upsilon, pronounced U. And it's found in Uranus, Uranus. And the form Uranus means heaven. Extremely important Greek form to all of us of the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ body. So you can automatically see the connection of these diphthongs in the formation of Greek roots and forms that will associate you really keenly with the Koine New Testament, and furthermore with your calling, if that all makes sense to you. It all really does work together into a beautiful picture. So, you know, in your mind and your heart, you can go back in time in the New Testament scriptures, and you can say, I know, that is to yourself, I know the word, I know the form, the Greek form or root, that God the Holy Spirit used for the English word heaven. And whether we acknowledge that or not, that's quite a kick. That's awesome stuff. You know, if we pray that we get right understanding of these things, we will know that we can understand the form that the Holy Spirit used for us to praise our dear Heavenly Father. That's awesome stuff, if you really think about it. And here you are, and here I am, 2,000 years later in time, and this is available to us. You know, if you really get those gears cranking in your mind, we're really fortunate people. to be here and have such works. You know, people died for us to have these works, and if we were living in 1400 or 1500, we would never, ever even set our hands or fingers on any such works as these whatsoever. We would know a very limited amount of even the scriptures in our own language. And that's a fact. That happened here. And we should keep things like that in our mind. Let's turn to page 7 now. The Greek accents, very important. All right. Lesson number 1 is extremely important, fundamentally. So you go over it and over it and over it again. There's nothing wrong with going over and over these basic fundamental facts about the Koine. On page 7, 10, it says the Greek accents. Follow along with me. Printed editions of the Greek New Testament use 3 accent marks. The acute, it's a slash to the left. The grave, it's a slash to the right. And the circumflex, it's kind of like a little semicircle thing. The importance of the accents for the study of the Koine Greek is twofold. Occasionally distinguish between forms that are otherwise identical. Example, epsilon iota, which is pronounced A, means if. But if epsilon iota has a circumflex over the non-rough breathing comma above iota, do you see that? Does everybody see that? I hope you remember from last time that there are 2 breathing marks in the Koine Greek. Right, in the Koine Greek, there's a smooth mark, which is a comma above, usually the second vowel in a form, or there's a rough breathing mark, which is a comma that moves to the right, and it has an H sound to it. Well, for epsilon iota, with a smooth breathing mark, it means if. But if it has a circumflex accent over it, it means you are. So, you know, it seems as though that some of the Koine is very technical. Very technical. Maybe as far as what we're used to. But on the other hand, English is a really screwy language, and I don't really have some examples for you, but one word in the English spelled the same could have 1, 2, or 3 different meanings. And, you know, so learning English, even though we did it as youngsters, might be very difficult. So maybe we can look at it that way. If Koine Greek is technical, well, we're learning a different language, and maybe it should be a little tough, so that we concentrate. But you know, even this text is written with pretty small writing. I mean, you know, pretty small letters. So you know, you might want to blow this up somehow. You know, with a magnifying sheet or something. But, you know, these marks are very technical. And 2, the accents serve to indicate which syllable in a Greek form is to be stressed in pronunciation. Otherwise, it is impossible to read New Testament Koine Greek without knowing any more about accents. In subsequent lessons, accents will be treated where relevant. What I'm going to do is, he says that we can go back on our own of appendix 1, but let's all turn there. let's turn to Appendix 1, which is page 216. And I just want to go over about 30% of Appendix 1 tonight, because it's very important, all right? Is everybody with me? See. Ye. Okay. Great. Yeah. Great. Okay. Let's turn to, and then at the end of this, we're going to have questions. And the reason why I don't entertain questions during these studies is we might not get anywhere. Not saying that any question is bad, because I ask questions every minute of every day in my head. So, am I bad? Yep. Okay. But questions are great as long as they're, decent questions. So we'll entertain questions, but it's important to get through a certain amount of material. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through page 216 and half of page 217 right now as far as accents are concerned. So let's go. Appendix 1, the Greek accents. Greek, as we have seen, has three accents. The acute, which is a slash to the left, the grave, which is a slash to the right, and the circumflex, which is a small semicircle. Okay, then we can read the following Greek forms. Akouo, actually, tain. Phonane, to, theou. Notice that the accent stands over the vowel of the accentuated syllable. So if we go back to the first form above, you'll see akouo, and you'll see an acute above the upsilon there. So it's pronounced akouo, with the accent on the U, all right? Going to the third form, you'll see phonane, and you'll see a grave over the eta there, phonane. So you don't pronounce that form phonane, you pronounce it phonane, okay? And that's very important in the pronunciation of the Koine Greek, because eventually we're going to be reading. And if you want to, you can try reading on your own. But eventually, like tonight, if it doesn't run too late, we'll pronounce some Greek forms, and then we're going to read John the Awesome, verses of John 1, 1 through 5, in the original Koine. And we're going to do it correctly. All right, so this is all very important. It's like what? It's like if you became a major league pitcher in baseball, somewhere along the line, someone would have had to teach you the proper mechanics. Or in throwing a football, the proper mechanics of the release of that ball, and your eyes and your head down the field, and all of those things. Well, the Koine Greek proper mechanics is what we're founding right now. These are all extremely important proper mechanics in the Koine Greek. It says in the paragraph, first paragraph, notice that the accent stands over the vowel of the accentuated syllable and over the second vowel of a diphthong. Do you notice that? So going back to the Greek form above, akouo, you'll notice that the acute is over the second vowel of the diphthong, omicron, upsilon. Okay? Does that all makes sense to you? And you could say, man, this is ridiculous. This is a lie, this seems crazy. Well, it is what it is, and it is the language the Holy Spirit chose for God's word in the New Testament. So, I'd keep that in mind. You know, I think he can help us a lot. So then when a diphthong is accented, the accent goes on the second vowel of the diphthong, not the first. It's really not too hard if you spend time and sort it out. And then look at Greek forms that contain examples of this. And all of a sudden the light will come on. You go, oh yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I can learn that. I can know that. And, you know, see, for me, that I get excited about that. I mean, hey, you know, like, you know, this Polish kid, he can know this. He can learn this. You know, hey, I can learn this. Yeah, I can do this. And what one man can do or woman, another man or woman can do. So don't cower away. It says, although the accents originally indicate tone or pitch, today we make no such distinction between them. And then I'm going to get into the following about accents that's important. A Greek form has many syllables as it has vowels or diphthongs. Logos, now look at that, logos, it's not logos, it's logos, and it's not lagos, it's logos, not logos, not lagos, logos. Has two syllables, logos. Anthropos, that's the word for mankind. Anthropos has three syllables, anthropos. Doulos, meaning slave, has two syllables, doulos. And aletheia, aletheia has four syllables, and I'm not exactly sure what that means. I should know. Let's go on. A syllable is long if it has a long vowel or diphthong. In blepo, ble is short. It's not bleepo, it's blepo. While P omega is long. In doulos, do is long. That is delta omicron upsilon. That's long. While los, lambda omicron sigma, is short. Do you guys see that? Are you guys confused at all? What I'm going to do is we're just going to keep on going, and then we can entertain questions at the end. Okay? I mean, this is a lot, but you just have to go over and over it, like I mentioned. It goes on to read, however, the diphthongs alpha iota and omicron iota are considered short when they are final. Hence, the diphthong omicron iota is lagoi, actually. It's lagoi. Lagoi is short because it is final. But the omicron iota in lagois is long because it is followed by another letter. Well, that gets, that's pretty technical. That's pretty technical, but, it's something to go over. You know, we have to go over and over this so it sticks in our head. All right? A form may be accented only on one of its last three syllables. This is very important, and this is extremely important for you to know about accents and the Koine Greek language. this is about as fundamental as it gets as far as accenting Greek forms. The last syllable in a Greek form is called the ultima. The syllable preceding the ultima is called the penult, and the syllable preceding the penult is called the anti-penult. So let's say you have a Greek form that has five syllables. Well, the last syllable is called the ultima. The second to the last syllable is called the penult. And the third to the last syllable is called the anti-penult. And then that's it. That's all you have to know. Where they came up with these, where they came up with these Greek forms, that I didn't make them, so that's what it is, though. I learned this years ago, too, so it's correct. So the last syllable in a Greek form is called the ultima. So let's say it was accented. You could say, oh, I know that Greek form has the accent on the ultima. And you can feel really good about yourself. Or you could, if it has the accent on the second last syllable, you can say, well, I know that accent is on or goes on the penult. And if the syllable is on the third last syllable from the end, counting in, it's the anti-penult. Ultima, penult, anti-penult. It's like the foundation, one of the foundation building blocks of the Koine Greek language, just like the alphabet and just like the diphthong. So if you learn nothing else out of lesson number one, learn the alphabet, especially the lowercase, the littler alphabet, the littler letters. Learn the diphthongs and learn the accents and what are about them. Now, I'm not saying that that's all you should learn from lesson one, but if you get those three things down, you're doing very, very well, and you're well on your way, okay? Because you're going to be able to recognize Greek forms when you're in the Companion Bible. And one thing about the Companion Bible that I don't like, though, cut against the Companion Bible, is that I believe a lot of times you'll have the Greek forms transliterated into the English, okay? What the note writers tried to do is they tried to give the English-speaking people an idea of how the Greek form is pronounced by writing it or transliterating it into English. Well, what that does for the Greek student is it kind of throws you off a little bit. I'd rather see the Greek form in Greek and then maybe transliterated in English, or the Greek form in Greek and then an explanation of how it's pronounced. I hope that, because you're going to get into the Companion Bible and you're going to find that there are Greek forms that are written in English rather than Greek, and it's going to be a little off as far as, the actual Greek form, if that makes sense to you. What I'm trying to say is this, is like, let's say you had the Companion Bible, and then you looked at the notes, and it had a Greek form written in English. It might be hard for you to find that Greek form in your Greek lexicon, because it's not written in Greek, it's written in English. Does that make sense to you? Well, I hope it does. But at any rate, just learning the alphabet, the diphthongs, and the accents, start looking at the Greek text like you never have before. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to guesstimate and say that you probably look at the Greek text differently than you ever have before, because you know some things now that you never did before. And I know what that's like because I do it every day. Or that is to say, if I learn something new about the Greek, gay, it's something I didn't learn before. So it's all positive. That is, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. We really do. We have nothing to lose. And what this is going to do is this is going to bolster your understanding of the Scripture. So, you know, the time that you spend with this is totally and completely productive. I can say that prayerfully to you. Totally and completely productive. And, you know, if you use it, you know. Let's go on. Numeral 3, it says a form may be accented only on one of its last three syllables. Okay, we went over that. It says general rules of accentuation. An acute accent, that's the accent that's slashed to the left. The acute may stand on either a long or a short syllable, like logos or oikos. The acute may stand on either of the last three syllables. All right, so this acute accent can stand on a short syllable or a long syllable, and it can stand on any of the last three syllables. That is, it can stand on the ultima. It can stand or it can be used on the penult, and it can be used on the antepenult. So, again, you could say, man, this is crazy. This is highly technical. But, again, rather than just jumping in and trying to read Koine Greek or slash through it, we're going to be able to dissect it form by form, accent by accent. So it, you know, to read it, it'll be cake after a while. All right. Okay. It states in B, the acute may stand on either of the last three syllables, as in angelos. It's over the alpha. Oh, I see. Logos, which only has two syllables. Oh, okay. I made a mistake here. Well, wait. Did I? No. I didn't make a mistake. It's just that the acute can be used on all three syllables. And then I did name them the ultima, the penult, and the antepenult. So, angelos has three syllables. And you see the acute on the alpha, or the alpha. Logos has two syllables. And you see the acute on the first omicron. And actually, well, kapos has two syllables too, but you see that kapos, actually, and you see that the acute is used on the ultima. So the acute can be used on the ultima, the penult, and the antepenult. The acute may not stand on the antepenult when the ultima is long. Now this is, I'm just going to read through this, and this really starts getting pretty technical. But I'm just going to read through this, and you know, you guys are going to have to do some digging like me, and studying. You know, but these are really good rules to look back on. You know, because we're all going to get confused when we look into our lexicons, and when we look at the Greek text, we're going to, until we become pretty proficient with all this, we're going to become confused, and then we're going to have to go back and look at the rule book. Well, that's okay. You know, that's what learning is all about. We do that with the Scriptures themselves. I mean, you know, how many times have you compared Romans and Ephesians. How many times have you gone back and looked at the Gospel of John for what it might not contain in it that Ephesians does? You know, things like that. We're constantly going back and forth and comparing and studying and breaking down definitions. That we're constantly doing that. That's what studies of the Scriptures is all about. You know, so if you got to go back and look at the rule book, that's great. I have to do it all the time. You know, and one thing too is that if you lay this aside and you don't look at it for a year, I'm not sure if it's like riding a bike. You'll remember some things, but you'll have to go through it again. You know, so you'll have to be kind of like working with this at least all the time, at least in some form, you know. Even if it's, like I said, even if it's dabbling around with the alphabet or with dabbling around with a Greek lexicon, just stay with it. Okay, in C there of 185, the acute may not stand on the antepenult, that's the third syllable back, when the ultima, that's the first syllable, is long. Okay, we notice that two forms of the word angel are used here. Angelos, which has the acute on the antepenult, the third syllable, is proper because the last syllable is short. But the Greek form angelou, the ultima, or the last syllable, is long, and therefore the acute accent has to go on the second syllable, or the p-note. Can you see that? Let's move on. I know that this is technical, you know, but this is technical, but, you know, we're going over it because, you know, you could say, well, you know, are these lessons important? Yeah, they're important, very important, because at least this is being voiced out for you. It's being, well, yeah, okay, thanks. I'm not looking for any pats on the back. I'm just telling you what I've been through. You know, I'm telling you that voicing this stuff out, if you've never heard it before, you know, at first it's going to sound strange. You know, but the point of it is that your mind and your heart has heard it. And then you're going to go back and, no pat, yeah, I figured. Yeah, Ronnie wouldn't give me any pats on the back. But, yeah, but what's going to happen is you're going to go back and then you're going to read in the text. You're going to go, hey, yeah, that's what Crazy Mike said. And he made sense with that. That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So I think hearing it in these lessons and going over it as much as we can, time allowing, is very important for you, because then you go back and it's not totally new to you. And see, I know I've been through that. You know, so, you know, that's like with anything. Do you remember the first time you heard of the calling of the mystery? What did you think? Do you remember when somebody said, oh, well, there's a high calling of God called the mystery. It's concerning the church, which is the body of Christ. Do you remember what you thought? Maybe you had no clue of what was being said, but you heard it. You know what I'm saying? You heard it, and then the Lord taught you out of His Word, and through hearing it again and again, and eventually you came to know it and know it to be true. So that's how we learn, you know. So let's go on. In D it says, the acute may not stand on a long p-note, that's the second accent, when the ultima is short. Now this, you know, this gets kind of crazy, doesn't it? So we look at this, doulou, okay? It's not doulou with the accent over the p-note, but it's, well, yeah, you can't use an acute. You have to use a circumflex over the p-note, and it says doulos. Well, let's keep on going. I know this is, might be a little confusing to you, but don't worry about it, okay? We're not on any time factors. There's no grades except for Ron and Tony and Chip probably. And, you know, so you don't have to worry about that. The grave accent, that's going on page 217. That's the slash to the right. And maybe we can go over this again, I suppose. I was going to go, I don't know, we'll take a vote. The grave accent, that's a slash to the right, may stand only on the ultima. Well, that's easy. The grave may stand on either a long or a short syllable. Well, that's easy. So the grave accent, the slash to the right, can only stand on the last syllable, the ultima, and it can stand on either a long or a short syllable. If a word other than an eclectic, just forget that. Forget C. That's a little bit involved there. Just scratch C out for now. The circumflex, that's a semicircle. The circumflex may stand only on a long syllable. Well, that's easy. So what we could maybe do is we could learn about the circumflex and the grave in reverse. We can learn that the circumflex accent may stand only on a syllable, like doulos, but not Lagos. Do you see that? The circumflex may stand only on the p-note. Oh, on the p-note or the ultima. Okay, so the circumflex may stand only on a long syllable, but it can stand on the last and second to last syllable, like doulos and carpu. The circumflex may not stand on the p-note, that's the second syllable, if the ultima is long. So, instead of having doulos with the circumflex on the second syllable, you have to have the acute there. Doulaw. Doulou. Doulon, actually. Doulon. Well, That's a bit technical, you know, but and it's probably a lot to incorporate into your brains right now in 10 minutes, but I want you to go over at least that portion of Appendix 1, all right? Because those accents are very important, and if nothing else, it's to help you become familiar with the text. All right? So I'm gonna move away from this appendix now. But I felt that it was important for me to go over that. All right? And here again, I'm going to stress it again. You guys got to be your own professors too. You guys, just like the Word of God, there's nobody responsible for you and the Word of God except you. All right, let's turn to page 8. Now we're going to do some pronunciation. Amen. Okay. I don't know what you guys meant by that, but I think I do. All right, then. Wasn't that great? It was kind of like engineering or something, huh? Awesome. Okay. The Koine Greek accents were invented about 200 BC. I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently it is. As an aid to a correct pronunciation of Koine Greek among foreigners, the accents originally indicated pitch rather than stress. The acute marked a rise in the voice. Okay, well, forget that. Okay, we don't need to clog our minds with extraneous stuff. So just know that the Greek accents were invented supposedly in 200 BC. Okay, that's 200. Well, let's see. When did the New Testament begin to be written? When was the first New Testament book written? Does anybody want to guess? Well, probably around AD early 30s, okay, 33 A.D., 4 years after the crucifixion of our Lord. That's interesting. Got to think about that one. But yeah, around that time. So the accents were invented, let's just say, 200 years before the Lord produced his eternal word, as far as the New Testament is concerned. All right, let's turn to the exercises, okay? Exercises, page 8. We're going to pronounce the following Greek forms. Notice their similarity to English words. Well, you can notice that if you want to, if it helps you, I suppose. You know, but I think that as time goes on, when we get more proficient at the Koine Greek, we're going to leave the English words aside. But for now, I suppose to become familiar with the Koine Greek, it may be helpful. But I think as time goes on, as we graduate to different levels, it's best just to stick with the Koine Greek alone in our minds. Let's look at these Greek forms and roots and pronounce them correctly. Notice where the accents are. And remember your alphabet and your diphthongs, okay? So what you can do is you can take what you've learned about diphthongs, about accents, and about the pronunciation of the Greek alphabet, and you can try to pronounce these Greek forms and roots correctly, noticing how you pronounce the letters correctly and where you put the accent on the Greek form, okay? Like this. Here we go. Apostolos. It's not apostolos. It's apostolos. It's not apostolos. It's apostolos. The accent is on the first omicron, and the omicrons are not omegas. Apostolos. The next Greek form, and that means apostle, very important. The next Greek form is soma. It's not soma. It's not somē. It's soma, which means body. The next Greek form is phoné. It's not phoné. It's phoné. And that is the Greek form or root for sound. Very important. The next Greek form is cardia. Not cardia. It's cardia. And that is the Greek form or root for the English word heart. Very important. I mean, if you learned just lesson one alone and all of the Greek forms and roots that were in this first lesson, you would know pretty awesome Koine Greek forms and how to pronounce them and what they mean. You know, and so if you get that down, you just keep on going, man. You put these down, keep your own dictionary, keep your own little journal. Some people have flashcards. You know, I know some awesome preachers that have used memory cards, and they carry them around in their pockets. You know, so that when they teach, they don't have to turn back. It's not because they want to appear like they're geniuses or something. It's because when they're teaching and they make a reference, Romans 8:28, they don't have to turn back to it to read it. They know it in their head. At least the good preachers that know the Lord and aren't phonies do that. So you can do the same with Greek forms, if you like. The more you write them, the more familiar you are with the alphabet and with the diphthongs and with the Greek forms or roots, and then you can look up the meanings, and all of this just keeps on going and going and going, like the Energizer Bunny. And that's the way learning the Lord is, too, in the Scriptures. It just keeps on going and going and going, and you'll never learn anywhere near the totality of the Almighty God and His Word in your lifetime. You know, so I think that you can look at the Koine like that, too. It just keeps on going and going. You know, but as you go, you know, can all of us say, man, we know some great things about the Almighty and His eternal Word. Well, we better say yeah, because we do. We're thoroughly blessed, incredibly blessed. But do we know, you know, even what, you know, what can I say? Do we, have we scratched the surface of knowing God and His Word? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit, you know, but we're here and we're in school, as Arda says, and we're going to school until we're not here, you know, so I think the Koine can be looked at like that too. After cardia, the next Greek form is phabos. It's not phobos, it's phabos. It's not phabos, it's phabos, and it means fear. Very important Greek form found in the New Testament. Next Greek form is genos. Genos. And it means race. Genos. The next Greek form is philippos. Philippos. It's not philippos. It's philippos. 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 With the acute accent on the antepenult, actually. The next Greek form is exodus. Exodus. It's not exodos or it's not exodus. It's exodus in the Koine. And it means a departure. The exodus. Exodus. The accent on the antepenal. In the form. The Greek form there. Next form that's really important, and it's used for the English word eternal, I believe, is the Greek form or root zoe. Zoe. And it means life. And Greek form or root might be a really, the reason why I say Greek form or root is because some of these Greek forms may be roots. I don't know. I didn't study that. I didn't look into that. I should have. You know, but sometimes in the Greek New Testament, you'll encounter an actual root in Greek, not a form. All right. The next Greek form is the form Petras. Petras, meaning Peter. Next one is Theos. Theos, actually. Theos. Theos. Not Theos, as I misspoke. It's Theos, meaning God. Next Greek form is gune. Gune, actually. Gune. Get those accents. That's one thing I learned from Eddie the Greek. If I said gune, he'd say, what? He'd say gune. Gune, actually. Gune. See that the pronunciation of the accent is, there's no mistake. Gune. Meaning woman. The next Greek form is pater. pater, meaning father. The next Greek form is phuke. Phuke, meaning soul. The next Greek form is palis. Palis, actually. Palis, meaning city. And the last Greek form is Christos. Christos, actually. Christos, meaning Christ. So, it's important for you to go over these Greek forms in Lesson 1. It's important for you to understand the meaning of these Greek forms or roots. It's important for you to accent the Greek forms or roots where the accent is and learn that. Believe me, it pays dividends. It pays dividends to learn it correctly and not be lazy. Lazy. Because, here, alpha, beta, gamma. That's a lazy way of saying alpha, beta, gamma. Like, if you were a Greek and you learned for years and years alpha, alpha, beta, gamma, and then some American came along and said, oh yeah, alpha, beta, gamma, alpha, beta, gamma, you'd probably, it might be irritating. I would bet that it might be irritating to you to hear your language slushed around like that. So we're not going to slush around in the Koine. We're going to learn it as correctly as the Holy Spirit would have us learn it. So that's why when you're learning the pronunciation of these Greek forms, I would pray that you think of it like this. I'm learning it as God wants me to. And I'm not going to slush around in it, just like I'm not going to slush around in His Word. Heaven forbid, right? So that's the importance that I think we should have when we're dealing with the Koine. All right. And coming to the end of this lesson, we're going to attempt to read John 1, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in the English and then the Koine. So what I'm going to do, and this is really great because, you know, folks, what you can do, what's great about this is, well, of course, you have a, yeah, thanks, Tony. You have a complete New Testament, the Byzantine text, you know, so what you can start doing, if you want, is you can look at the English and, like, let's say you're really familiar with some scriptures in the English, like John 1:1 and 1:2, and, you know, what you can do is you can read that in the English, go back to the Koine, and figure it out. You know, that it's almost like a puzzle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, after a while, all these things, my friends, are going to build on one another, okay? So it'll be really cool now that you, understand some building blocks, as you can go to the Greek Koine scriptures, and with a little bit of work, you can say, hey, I can memorize John 1, 1 through 5 in the Koine so that I'm very familiar with it. Now, that would be pretty excellent to do, I think. It would be pretty excellent to do that. So, let's do that. I was going to trust Tony McCurry. All right, Tony, I'm going to trust you, okay? I'm not going to open up my scriptures. I'm going to trust you and what you put up here, okay? All right, so John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Look at page 9. In the Koine, that would read, arche in ho logos. N R K Ain Ho Lagos. In the beginning was the Word. R K Ain Ho Lagos. And notice over that Omicron with the comma over it, you'll notice it's going to the right. We learned last time that that's a hard breathing mark. It's curled to the right, so it has an H sound. Actually, it's ha, I'm sorry. I mispronounced the ho, it's ha. Okay? So it's N-R-K, Ain, Ha, Lagos. I made a mistake. It's not ho, it's ha. Alright? That all makes sense to you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Kai, Ha, Lagos, Ain, Pras, Tan, Theon. Ain, Pras, Tan, Theon. And the Word was with God. That's what I just read. And the Word was God. In the Koine, that is Kai Theas Ein Ha Lagos. So, let's read this again, and I hope I'm not running over time. I'm going to get through this, though. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, was with God, pardon me. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Koine, it's N-R-K, Ein-Ha, Lagos, Kai-Ha-Lagos, Ein-Pras, Tan-Theon, Kai-Theas, Ein ha lagos. Now, if we sat there and I read in the Koine John 1:1 over and over and over again for a half an hour, think about that. Ein arke, en arke, ein ha lagos kai. Ha lagas, ein pras tan theon kai theas, ein ha lagas, over and over again, your mind would start memorizing that and picking it up. You know, so, I don't know what to say about that, but we just read John 1:1 in the original, and it sounded pretty good to me. Let's go on. John 1:2, the same was in the beginning with God. Autos in en arke pras tan theon. Again, autos in en arke pras tan Theon. The same was in the beginning with God. Oh, did I miss a rough breathing? I don't know if I did. I don't think I did. Oh, is it Hautas? That might have. Hold on a second. I'm having a little bit of a problem reading this. Yes, let's go over that again. All right? Are you with me? Okay. Yeah, Gary was right. Minus 10 for me. Sorry.
Does that mean he gets it next week?
Yeah, he gets it next. Yeah, Gary gets to teach next week. Okay. Let's go back to. Sorry. I made a mistake, so it's good. It's good that you saw me make a mistake. You can make a mistake too. I mean, we all make mistakes. John 1:2. The same was in the beginning with God. Actually, it's hautas instead of autas. It's rough breathing over the autas. Hautas, ein en arche pras tan theon. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Panta di autu. Again, eta. That's what it is. All things were made by him. Panta di autu. Again, eta. And without him was not anything made that was made. Kai kois koris. Kai koris autu egen eta uda en. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Ha gen amen, ha gen anen, en autu zoe. And I'll repeat that again. Ha gen amen, hagen anen, hagen, hageg, I'm sorry, hageg anen, en atu, zoe, ein. That means in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Kai he, notice that long breathing mark over that eta. Kai hei zoe ein ta phos. Tone anthropon. And the life was the light of men. That's what I just read. And the light shines in darkness. Kai ta phos. Phos is light. We find that in our calling. We are the saints that are going to have an inheritance, or that are chosen, I should say. We are saints that are chosen as his inheritance in the light. I'll add unapproachable. So phos is very important to us. Kai ta phos en te scotia fine, which means, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or overtook it not, which is this, kai he scotia ata u katalaben. Katalaben. Again, kai he skatia, that is, ata u katalaben. Katalaben. All right, well, I'm going to end with that, and then I'm just going to field any questions, or you guys can talk together about anything you want to, and then we can have a we can have a vote on what you want to do next time. But I do want to say this, that, you know, we can only hang around certain areas, you know, for so long. So, what are your questions? Or that is to say, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And then, you know, we'll talk, okay? Here we go. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time. We know that things might be new to us in your Koine Greek. They might appear to be difficult. They might appear to be something we can't learn or overcome, but we know that you can give us the strength and the wisdom and the energy if we see fit to set time aside for you. We know that you can work with us, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the ability to have life, have your precious word, have texts that help us about your original 2,000 years, more or less, after the Holy Spirit put your precious word and truth through men. Incredible, incredible stuff. We thank you for that. We thank you for the dispensation that we live in. We thank you for our calling. We thank you for faith. We thank you for your Son. We thank you as being Creator, and we thank you that you teach us about yourself correctly, and we thank you for having the right factual truths on this life and you in this life, and how we can worship you and praise you for all the things you've done through your Son, our head and the Creator of all things, Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.